I have two requests. First, join me, please, in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. It may seem like an odd place to start, but we're going to give it a try. I'm in Romans chapter 14. Now I invite you to look around. I'd like you to see, think about the crowd assembled here. And I want to connect it to a word that is really our name in some ways. But first, I want to think about verse 15 in Romans 14. If your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. That's our warm-up. Here's the heart of it. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. I hope you understand the significance of that, because with those words, every one of us is renamed. Every one of us. No longer are we Daniel or Joseph or Troy and other names among us. Every person here has been renamed him for whom Christ died. Do you realize the weight that that gives our lives? We are not nothing. We are mighty. We are something because we were worth the death of the Lord of the universe. In fact, he became Lord by his dying for us. We sang that this morning. We also sang about the other part. What do you think? Well, now join me. We're going to flip over one chapter to Romans 15. We'll spend a few minutes and a couple of verses there early in chapter 15. But what do we make of us as all of these individuals for whom Christ died? Well, I want you to know it doesn't stop there. Let's read. I'm in Romans 15, and I'm reading in verse 5. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Do you see what that tells us? We are individually him for whom Christ died. But here Paul summons a people to see themselves as people together. Do you notice the sheer repetition of the ways of this? Notice this. Here you are. We have in such harmony with one another, together, one voice, one another. You see, we're called to be together. And in fact, that's what we are. We are the ecclesia of Christ. What does that word mean? The called out people. Now, here's the odd part about it. We're called out to assemble together. And as we know in the Bible, the word ecclesia sometimes simply means the assembly of citizens in a town. They are called out of their everyday life to gather as citizens and be the citizens assembled. We have been called out of all the possibilities of our lives to assemble as the church of God. So the church is here in us gathered. We are the called out people. Now the question is, how are we called? We sang it. We were called by the death of Jesus. And we were called by his life again. You understand what the story, remember, maybe best summarized in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 6, where we're told that Jesus, though he existed in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Three times the form of a man, of a human, of a person is named. He became a self for a purpose. him for whom Christ died. And in that form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. He lived as a man, he died as a man for us, and God raised him up. Jesus, helpless in the grave, God raised him, exalted him, gave him the name above every name. And so it's nice to hear our good elder Dale referring to the matchless name in his prayer. And it's good to hear us as we think about, well, think about the language here. I'm back in Romans 15 now, verse 6. That together you may with one voice. Do you know that we've already done this? As one voice, we have proclaimed he died. With one voice, we have proclaimed he lives. And there are consequences for that living for us. Because he lives, things matter for us. And that's what we're seeing here right now. We were called by him with his deeds. I died for you. I was buried for you. I lived again because God raised me from the dead. And now I sit at the right hand of the throne of God. We are the called people. Why did he do that? Why did he offer himself? I'll give you two reasons. One, he said, we know from the garden. Nevertheless, he said, I'm in anguish, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. This is not about me, says Jesus in the garden. This is about the will of my Father in heaven. That's why he did it. But as Andrew and I have read recently, back in Matthew, there's another reason. Jesus, looking out at crowds of people, looking out at us, he had compassion on the crowd. I'm doing my best to have compassion right now as I look out at you. I hope you can look around and have compassion. But we're trying to rise to the level of this astonishing act here, this astonishing being, this one who became Lord of the universe by his works. So the word of the truth tells us why he did it and why we responded. And now what we do, because he lives, we gather. Because he lives, we worship. As Dale prayed, we call the God majestic, and we call Jesus' name matchless, and we obey him, and we delight, and we do not only, well, what we do is what's said on the monitor now. We do in accord with Jesus. We don't do it because we made it up. We don't do it because it seems good to us, because it seems right and fun and nice to do. We do it because it's in accord with Jesus. Our togetherness is in accord with Jesus. Our soon-to-be event here, our little ceremony, is in accord with Jesus because he said, do this. And when you do it, remember me. So we're obedient right now as we rehearse as we do every week. We do what he said, and we delight to do it because we understand it's not just the doing, it's the doing with the right heart. I want to call you back to Romans 15 again. Notice what we're asked to do. Verse 6 again, that together with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So please know, here we are assembled, here we are about to pass the shiny trays among us, that when we do this little chore, chewing, sipping, never merely that. It's never simply that. It is us together. It is the called out people offering glory to God. It is because of you that we live. It is because of you that we can agree that Jesus is the matchless one. And so this morning, as these this astonishing array of young men stands before us and serves us, let us delight that we together can offer glory to God.